Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Let me tell you a little bit about Christine Keneally before we link, before we go up to Quinnipiac University. Christine is Professor of History, and she is the Director of Ireland's Great Hunger Institute, and a graduate of Trinity College in Dublin. She completed her doctorate in the introduction of the poor law to Ireland. She then worked in educational and research institutes in Dublin, Belfast, Liverpool, and she has published extensively on the impact of the Great Irish Famine and has lectured on the relationship, indeed, between poverty and famine in all kinds of places, like India, Spain, Canada, France, New Zealand, Finland, and she has actually spoken to invited audiences in the British Parliament and the U.S. Congress. For the last 10 years, she's been here in the United States and was named one of the most influential Irish Americans in a few years back by Irish American Magazine, and also she received the Holyoke, Massachusetts St. Patrick's Day Parade's Ambassador Award, and 3 years ago was inducted into the Irish America Hall of Fame. I don't know how much of that introduction, Christine, you heard, but you've been well introduced. Let's start there.
Oh, my God. That is a lot to live up to, but thank you.
I want to start, first of all, by having you tell us about Frederick Douglass. And that's before we even get to Frederick Douglass in Ireland. Who was he, and where does he play a role in American and Irish history?
So Frederick Douglass, I think most people know the name, and quite rightly so. He is an incredible champion of civil rights. He was an American. He lived in the 19th century, but his impact, his legacy, are really with us today. And we know when President Obama first moved into the White House, he actually put a statue of Frederick Douglass very close to his office.
Right. Yeah.
And he said that Frederick Douglass inspired him. We know Martin Luther King often quoted Frederick Douglass. So Frederick Douglass is somebody who has a lot of relevance for people today.
Now, he was born where?
He was born in Maryland, and he was born in Talbot County, and he was born into slavery. He was brought up essentially by his grandmother. He never knew his father. He suspected his father was the master of his mother. He only met his mother 5 or 6 times. She died when he was about 7 years old. So he really lived a life of brutality and very dehumanizing circumstances. When he was 20 years old, he escaped from slavery. He'd attempted to do so before, but he finally escaped at the age of 20.
Now, Quinnipiac is marking the 200th anniversary of Frederick Douglass's birth. And you have a series of events to honor his life and his many achievements. As you pointed out, Frederick Douglass doesn't jump out to the foremost pages in history books, and that's with all due respect to yourself, because you have written greatly and often. Did I say greatly? Oh God, I'm picking that up from Washington. Okay. But you have explored and written so much about the Irish famine, the aftermath of the Irish famine, on many of your books. How did you get to highlight Frederick Douglass?
So my research area and my passion in many ways is, as you say, the Irish famine, the Great Hunger. But I have a great interest in that whole decade, the 1840s. And if you're Irish, the dominant figure in the 1840s is, of course, Daniel O'Connell. And some years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I was asked, would I write a book about Daniel O'Connell, using primary sources to explore his life and the many campaigns he was involved in. So we as Irish people would know Daniel O'Connell as the liberator, the man who won Catholic emancipation and who tried to win independence for Ireland, not successfully. But when I was doing my research and writing about O'Connell, what really struck me was his role and impact in the abolition movement and in the transatlantic abolition movement, because in the 1830s and the 1840s, Daniel O'Connell was probably the most important, influential figure in the world in terms of his stance on abolition. And I thought, this is something that most people don't know about. And to me, it was actually, I was sort of charmed by this aspect of Daniel O'Connell, because to me, this sort of showed him as a great leader in human rights, which he was. And not just an Irish statesperson, but an international statesperson. So that led me into the whole abolition movement and the transatlantic nature of the abolition movement. And that led me to really coming across this young escaped slave, Frederick Douglass, who visited Ireland in 1845, who had to leave America because he was in danger of being captured and taken back into slavery. And he said that when he was in Ireland, the greatest desire of his life was to meet this amazing champion, Daniel O'Connell. And he said Frederick always said he'd first heard of Daniel when he was a slave, and his master had berated this Irish man for speaking out against slavery in America. And Frederick said that he knew in his heart if his master hated this man, he would love him. And so that set me on the whole journey of discovering more about Frederick Douglass.
He was, he wasn't that sure about when he'd been born, whether it was 1817, 1880, but it later turned out that it actually was 1880. Yeah. And he chose February 14th as the day to commemorate his birthday. Just on a quote here from Frederick Douglass, going back to 1946. I'm not only an American slave, but a man, and as such, I'm bound to use my powers for the welfare of the whole human brotherhood. Now, was he to a great degree self-educated, or do we know much about that?
So, yeah, to go back to your point, he didn't know his date of birth at all. He thought it was 1817, or he maybe 1818, and he always said, you know, genealogy was not commonplace amongst slaves. Later, he found out it was 1818. He chose, when he was an adult, 14th of February, because on one of his very brief meetings with his mother, she had referred to him as her little Valentine. So, as an adult, he chose the 14th of February. But he didn't know when he was born. Your question about was he, this whole idea of human rights. When he came to Ireland in 1845, he initially said, you know, the only thing I know about is abolition, and I'm here as an abolitionist. He actually met Daniel O'Connell in September 1845. He heard O'Connell speak in Dublin, and O'Connell then invited Frederick up on the stage in Conciliation Hall to speak. And after that encounter, Frederick always referred to himself as someone who was not just an abolitionist, but someone who understood that abolition was part of a wide spectrum of a demand for human rights. And so in many ways, Ireland Daniel O'Connell really changed Frederick Douglass from being a simple abolitionist into a human rights activist.
Who christened him, in inverted commas, Black O'Connell?
So, if you read a lot of your current writing, people would say, Daniel O'Connell called him the Black O'Connell. And in fact, one of the great legacies of Frederick Douglass is he wrote his narrative in 1845, and then he subsequently published two more autobiographies. And in one of them, he talks about his time in Ireland and as being transformative. And he talks about Daniel O'Connell inviting him onto stage and playfully referring to him as the Black O'Connell. In fact, that's not what happened. When they met that one and only meeting in September 1845, Daniel O'Connell invited Frederick onto the stage, and at that point, what Frederick Douglass said is, what my people need is their own Black O'Connell. And to me, that's absolutely what Frederick became. He became the Black O'Connell of the slavery movement.
Christine Keneally, Franz, director of Ireland's Great Hunger Institute at Quinnipiac University. Would you tell us about the what appears to be a year-long exhibition at Quinnipiac University and the number of events that are centered on Frederick Douglass?
Yeah, so as you say, Frederick Douglass did know his birthday. We now know it was 1818. So this year, Frederick Douglass is 200 years old, and as I said, his impact is incredible, and his legacy really lives on in so many ways. So we are celebrating his 200th birthday, but because we're Quinnipiac, because of our Irish focus, we are really specializing on the very special relationship that Frederick Douglass had with Ireland. He visited Ireland 1845 and 1846. He met Daniel O'Connell in 1845, but both Ireland and Daniel O'Connell continued to influence him until really his dying day. I mean, in every speech he made after that, he referenced Ireland. So Ireland was very, very important to him. So we have an exhibition and we're exploring the relationship between these two great humanitarians, Frederick Douglass and Daniel O'Connell. So our exhibition is opening on the 2nd of February. It's on the Mount Carmel campus. It's we'll be there for a year and it's free. And we just would love if people, especially if young people, students, came to visit the exhibit. We have many original artifacts, original photographs, signatures by Frederick Douglass, temperance medals. He was a great man into temperance, and a violin. He was very musical. He loved to sing, despite the fact his hand had been broken by anti-abolitionists. He played the violin. He taught his family to play the violin. Great fiddle player. So we have a lot of artifacts that really tell the story of Frederick Douglass. We have his speech, one of his very final speeches in 1893, talking about Haiti and how the nation of Haiti, the first black republic in the world, needs to be respected. And in his speech, he compared the history of Haiti to the history of Ireland. And again, he quoted O'Connell. So again, we see the influence of Ireland. So that's our exhibit, which is open for a year. We also have on our campus in North Haven a beautiful statue of Frederick Douglass. And it was designed by an English sculptor, Andy Edwards. And it depicts the young Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass when he was 27 years old and he comes to Ireland. And the statue is big. It's 9 foot by 9 foot. And it's so wide because the young Frederick Douglass is wearing a cape, and the cape is modeled on the capes worn by Daniel O'Connell. He's wearing a waistcoat, waistcoat modeled on the waistcoats worn by Abraham Lincoln, and Frederick Douglass's right hand is an exact replica of President Obama's right hand. And in his left hand, the statue, Frederick Douglass, is holding his first autobiography, his narrative. So it's a really beautiful, beautiful statue. Again, that will be at North Haven for a year, and people are welcome to go and see it. It's beautiful. It's stunning. In February, because it's Black History Month and it's Frederick's birthday, we have a number of special events. On the 6th of February, Danny Glover is coming to Quinnipiac, and he's speaking a lecture entitled From Abolition to Black Lives Matter. And he will be looking at some of Frederick Douglass's speeches. That is free and open to the public. So that's the 6th of February. 14th of February, for some people it's Valentine's Day. For us, it's Frederick Douglass's birthday. We have a Frederick Douglass enactor on campus all day. He'll be traveling between the campuses. So we want to really celebrate Frederick Douglass's birthday. February the 20th is actually the anniversary of the death of Frederick Douglass in 1895, and we're having an ecumenical memorial service. We'll have gospel singers, Ilan Pipes, readings in Irish and readings in English, and various people to commemorate Frederick's life. Frederick Douglass himself was a member of the Methodist Church. And then we're finishing our Black History Month on the 22nd of February with a visit by two of Frederick Douglass's descendants who are coming to campus. And they have a Frederick Douglass Foundation which fights against sex trafficking. So they're going to come and they'll give two lectures, one about the work to fight sex trafficking, and the other will be to talk about the legacy and what it means to be a descendant of the great Frederick Douglass. So that's February. In autumn we're going to have another program, but for now, that's our February program.
An extensive program and one. By the way, now, you have written booklets on your research with Frederick Douglass.
Yeah. So to accompany the exhibit, we've brought out a small booklet. So it's 20 pages and it's fully illustrated color. And that really just tells the story, the overview of Frederick Douglass's relationship with Ireland. So I talked about his visit there, 1845, 1846. But Frederick came back to Ireland as an old man. He visited in 1887. At that point, all of his friends were dead. He stayed with their children. But what's really, I think, special and important is that at that time, he made a speech in favour of home rule, and he said he supported Irish independence. So just as Ireland had supported him in 1845, when he came back to Ireland in 1887, he supported Ireland's claim for independence. So the booklet explores that relationship, that his lifelong relationship with Ireland. The other book I have coming out, I also have a book coming out later in the year in June, and I told you Frederick was in Ireland 1845, 1846, and during that time he gave 50 lectures, and I've transcribed all of his lectures, and they're pretty hefty speeches, but they're fascinating, and I call it in his own words. And that book will come out in June. So we have the booklet to accompany the exhibition, and then we have later in the year all his transcribed speeches.
Christine Keneally, I would like you to bring us back. You're indeed the founding director of Ireland's Great Hunger Institute at Quinnipiac University. Just fill us in on, you know, generally on the curriculum, on, like, who do you cater to at Ireland's Great Hunger Institute?
So Ireland's Great Hunger Institute is part of what I think is really incredible. program of offerings at Quinnipiac, because as you know, we have the Great Hunger Museum, the Great Hunger Institute, and within our library we have an incredible Great Hunger collection. And I think no other place, no other institution or university in America, in Ireland, or in the world really has that focus that we have. So we have the visual, the artwork, we have the written, and then through the Institute, we have an Irish Studies minor. So we have a number of courses on Irish Studies that students can take. We have study abroad programs. We have very close relationships with Cork University, Maynooth University, Strokestown Famine Museum.
Mm-hmm.
So students who come to Quinnipiac and have any interest in Irish history, Irish culture, they really can meet that in many ways. We have internships, summer schools. So really, you know, we are all things Irish. We have a lot going on at Quinnipiac. If students want to apply, they can go to the admissions office. They are very welcome to contact me. And, you know, we love to hear from anybody of any age who has an interest in Irish history or Irish culture, because, you know, we are passionate about what we do.
No doubt on that. Now, you've given us some highlights of events right through February, but the exhibition, and I geared this primarily to listeners who either have visited Ireland's Great Hunger Museum at Quinnipiac, but also the exhibit and the exhibition is open very extensive hours, not just on the dates that you have outlined for us.
No, it's open for a year, 7 days a week. It's in the library. So our library, we like to say, is open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If people want to come as a group and they want a special tour, we can definitely organize that. They just need to let us know in advance. But, you know, we just welcome visitors. But, yes, it's absolutely open for a year, free to the public, and we would love people to come of all ages, and especially young people, because it's such an important lesson in somebody who had been so brutalized and yet who was so humanitarian and so funny and gentle and really loving in his message to the world.
Now, included in those, I know you've already scheduled a lot of school trips. And again, you know, for a school trip, you know, the youngsters can take in the Irish Great Hunger Museum, and also the Institute and the exhibition. So we've doubled up on a good reason, indeed, for those who would like to have that cultural experience. And again, the Ireland's Great Hunger Museum is free and very educational. It's for families, as is the exhibition. Let's pass on some information about how those who would like to know more, or those who might plan to get up to Quinnipiac on the dates, the events, or at another time. What's the best way to get that information?
Okay. So there's an email, if I can give you it. It's very simple. It's IGHI, so it's Ireland's Great Hunger Institute. So it's IGHI@qu.edu. And if you contact us there, you know, we can certainly organize for a visit to Frederick Douglass. And if you want to go to the museum also, we can forward your information to the museum.
That's,
now, I just want to forewarn people that the museum's contents are actually going to Ireland this year. So there will be a different exhibit, But you can find details on their website. But just so people know that actually this is a very special year for us because the museum is going to be touring Ireland.
Yeah, I know, and we've indeed been passing that information along. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we plan to have John Leahy, president of Quinnipiac University, on as a guest in the coming weeks. A lot happening, like you say.
Oh, yeah.
And also, just so you know, our listeners may feel that, well, you know, maybe the whole job lot, that Quinnipiac University will, you know, have a lot of empty room when the exhibition goes to Ireland. Actually, that's not so. There are about 50 or so paintings, artifacts on the exhibition heading for Ireland, but the Ireland's Great Hunger Museum will definitely be open. There will be plenty left there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They're closed for a few weeks in February, but then they're absolutely open again with a new exhibit. So, yeah.
Love
again,
fantastic.
I would just say to people, go to their website to get the precise dates.
Yeah, and that one is ighm.org. But anyway, if you log on, friends, to ighi@qu.edu, you'll get more details. And the exhibition is indeed one that is very significant, considering we're talking about 200 years since the birth of Frederick Douglass, Black O'Connor. Christine, again, as always, we're delighted to welcome you. And I hope that the next time that we're having a sit-down, that you don't, you know, I'll allow you maybe 20 minutes on Frederick Douglass. That's it. So if you could do a
conference. He's amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken about his role in the women's movement. He was one of the few men who signed the 1848 Declaration of Women's Rights. Frederick Douglass is just amazing.
How was he received? Okay, so he escaped slavery.
Yeah.
Wound up in Ireland for, I think it was like 3 or 4 months. First, low profile, and then returned the following year.
So he had to come to Ireland because in 1845, in May 1845, he wrote his life story, his narrative, to prove that he was authentic. But that put him in danger of being recaptured.
Yeah.
And even though he was in the north, he was escaped. Under federal law, he was actually a fugitive slave. So he could be recaptured at any time and taken back into slavery. So his friends persuaded him to leave the country, and they told him to go to Britain. So in August 1845, he sailed to Liverpool. But he went 2 days later to Dublin, and he just went to Dublin for 4 days because some Irish Quakers had said they would reprint his life story for him. But when he got there, they were so welcoming. He felt he was safe for the first time in his life. And he actually wrote back saying that being in Dublin was the happiest days of his life. And so rather than stay for 4 days, he stayed for 4 months, and then he came back. He then toured Britain, and some women, some with Irish connections, actually purchased his freedom. But in total, he was away from America for 18 months. And it was tough because he was married, he had 4 young children, and he was homesick.
Yeah. And how was he received on his return?
He was really, different parts. The country was very polarized. So in the north, he was greeted, he was sort of received as someone who'd spread the word and done a great job. But again, what's interesting is when he went to Ireland, when he went to Britain, he was very much under the influence of William Lloyd Garrison. But as you see, when he's in Ireland, when he's in Britain, he really develops, and he develops his own voice, his own agency, And when he comes back to America, he really wants to be his own person. So he moves from Boston to Rochester, and he starts his own newspaper, the North Star. And he gradually breaks away from the influence of William Lloyd Garrison. So again, Ireland is very important in helping Frederick to find his own voice and who he is and to become independent.
Christine Keneally, and again, the contact, friends, to find out not only about the events, the exhibition, but to find out more about Ireland's Great Hunger Institute, log on to IGHI@QU.edu. Christine Keneally, Professor and Director of Ireland's Great Hunger Institute. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.